My name is Ara Cho, and I am an Asian American Georgia educator. I want to talk about my journey as an immigrant and Korean American, particularly about finding the wholeness of my liminal identity throughout my adulthood. My story begins in the spring of 2001, when my dad, a respected military personnel in South Korea, decides to study theology abroad in the U.S. at the age of 35. He flies 14 hours to the state of Virginia on a student visa. In July of that year, my mom, younger sister, and I follow. Our family was not financially ready for this new life in the U.S. Much like the narrative of many immigrants, my parents worked menial jobs, including cleaning office buildings at night and making sandwiches at Subway just to make ends meet, all while raising two kids, one of whom was about to enter kindergarten. We got caught up in sustaining our new life and eventually extended our stay and became immigrants, undocumented immigrants. I didn't know what papers were and didn't know much about what was happening, but I did know that my parents said the word imin, meaning immigration, a lot. I wasn't born a foreigner. I had become one at the age of 5. And although it has almost been 20 years since I found a home here in the U.S., there are times, many times, when I am still seen and treated like a foreigner. This has nothing to do with my personal history of immigration, but has everything to do with the ongoing perception that people of Asian heritage in the U.S. must be foreigners, that they must speak another language, and that they must be from some other Asian country.
2016, Atlanta. When you talk about race, it's black or white. Ain't nobody care what we think. We don't have a place in the masses' mind. Still seen as foreigner? Where you from? No, where you really from? In Asia, tell me where it is. When the fact is there is a generation born as Americans, but they would never know that, cause we never really had a voice, right? Only choice I was ever given was to be represented by a guy doing Muay Thai. But see, right here is home to me, and I don't really know no other place, no other way to live, no other language I think it but English. But no, I won't say it to them. No way, nah, nah. We ain't gonna tell them, nah, nah. We don't wanna take their bliss away. Nah, we ain't gonna do that. Nah, nah, we don't wanna take their bliss away. Yeah, they don't really know about it, but nah, we don't wanna take their bliss away. Nah, we ain't gonna do that. Nah, nah, we ain't gonna do that. Do that.
In the 1988 documentary, Our Silent Minority, The Asian Factor, the Asian American interviewees talk about many of the things that now, 30 years later, are still being talked about. On the question about assimilation, one of the interviewees answers as follows.
Basically, when we talk about culture, you know, we really have to consider that culture is not something that doesn't change. Okay? We inherit something from our cultures, but culture changes. Culture is a very dynamic thing, and it evolves. So, of course, our behavior is to some extent conditioned by cultural traditions, but that's not determinant. I believe that when one comes from a very strong cultural tradition and see the values in one's own culture, total assimilation is not easily achieved and also is not desirable in my view. But I think that history and one's experience has shown that assimilation may not be the best thing for America, in that in America we treasure a pluralistic integration. That is, people can maintain their culture but are politically and economically integrated in the society. So I believe that America should see new immigrants as people who are going to be politically and economically integrated into the society, but may maintain part of their own language and culture.
The interviewees claim that America values a pluralistic assimilation is a naive view. She speaks about the perfect balance between maintaining one's home-taught cultural values while still being integrated into American politics, economy, and society. This view disregards the microaggressions and racism Asian Americans endure on a daily basis. So many of my Asian American friends have intentionally forgotten the language spoken at home because they wanted to avoid being targeted and because they wanted to become more American, with American being synonymous with whiteness. To be a hyphenated American comes with the constant reminder that no matter what I do, I may be perceived as less American. For many children of color, school is one of the first places where they have a racial encounter. And more often than not, these encounters leave a lasting negative impact on these students. School is a place where students are socialized to learn what it means to be American and where they realize where they fall on the scale as compared to their peers and adults. As an educator, I have seen teachers tell their students that they can't speak another language other than English in their classroom. Instances like this are one of the reasons why during the first weeks of school, when students get to know me and we build community together, I don't beat around the bush. We talk about race. We talk about the ongoing history of racial inequality in the U.S. We talk about microaggressions. We talk about what it means to be American. We talk about who decided what it means to be the standard and who decided what it means to be different. It becomes apparent which students have never had a conversation about race in their homes and for the first time in their lives are having to sit with the discomfort. For all of our students' sake, these conversations are so important. And I tell my students about myself. I am an immigrant. I am American. I am Korean American. I am bilingual. And I am proud of my identities. I'm hoping that in having these conversations, I could save some of my students the pain of trying to forget their language spoken at home, or the pain of trying to conform to what they think it means to be American in order to achieve whiteness as the standard. I have been calling myself a Korean American for a while, even before I was officially naturalized. It just didn't feel right to call myself just Korean or just American. I always felt like I was somewhere between those two. Then, 2 months away from graduating UGA in 2018, I got my U.S. citizenship. It was then that I was forced to think about what it means to be American to me. That's where my journey towards finding the wholeness of my liminal identity started. I grappled with the idea of being an immigrant and American. Because of an internalized narrative about what an immigrant looks and acts like versus what an American looks and acts like, I didn't think that I could be fully American as long as I remained an immigrant at heart. I thought that by putting my identity as an immigrant in the past, that it would only be then that I could become wholly American. But I realized that I had been American long before any official paper told me that I am. My immigration to the U.S., my middle school years during which I realized that I was an undocumented immigrant, and all of the events leading up to the March of 2018 has shaped my experiences. And to put it all in the past would be to throw away a huge part of me that continues to shape who I am. And so to me, to be American is to be an immigrant and Korean American. The word immigrant or immigration holds a negative connotation today. Media has put a face to the word immigrant, which is closely followed by the word undocumented, and made it synonymous with terms such as crime, illegal, drugs, rape, and alien. Instead of focusing on the lack of opportunities immigrants, particularly undocumented immigrants, have access to, the media portrays them as those who steal opportunities from quote-unquote good Americans. And who counts as good Americans? What is the face that represents good Americans in the masses' mind? And the narrative of immigration today is largely centered around our brothers and sisters of Hispanic heritage and is used to pin many of society's troubles on a single group of people. This narrative and tactic isn't new. White supremacy has always had its way of antagonizing racial minority groups and creating divide. Those who point at immigrants as the source of all of their troubles quickly come to their defense, saying that they're only talking about undocumented immigrants. But the truth is, they don't care about the actual immigration statuses of these individuals. They just want to categorize people and decide who deserves basic rights and who doesn't. Normally, we call this being a bigot. Typically, Asian Americans are subject to a different kind of racism and stereotype, one that is mistakenly seen as beneficial or positive, and it goes by the name model minority.
Yes, I would say that education is a major part of the makeup of Asian Americans. I think that from the very outset in a child's life, education is brought out as a value, is reinforced by the parents, by friends of the parents, and as a child grows up, by his own peers.
In China, education is very important because in Chinese history, you could recall that there weren't too many scholars, and scholars were considered more important than soldiers. And only the ones that have money that are wealthy could send their children to college. And so therefore it's embedded in one's mind that education is very important. The parents should give them a well-rounded home, and the basics should be taught at home. And later on what they will do, they will revert back to what they have learned. And I would like to say one more thing, that education is a priceless treasure that affects every walk of life.
Well, I think it has a lot to do with the calculation that Asian Americans have made in terms of their survival in this country and their belief that education is perhaps the most viable route in which to gain sort of social status, social mobility in this society.
We have people that are doing very well in education, doing very well in school, but we also have the other side of the coin where we have a lot of our children involved in gangs and problems as well. I wish the stereotype applied, but it doesn't across the board.
After graduating from university, most Asian Americans seek professional careers as doctors, lawyers, dentists, accountants, CPAs, and as teachers, hoping to inspire those students who didn't have the same motivation at home that they had.
Taken out of context, what is said in the video can be used to further oppress other racial minority groups in the U.S. 2020 has been a sobering year for many of us who have had the privilege of living in ignorant bliss about the ongoing systemic racism in the U.S. Where there should be an examination of the ongoing history of systemic racism that oppresses our Black brothers and sisters, people who uphold the status quo ask instead, why don't poor Black communities lift themselves out of poverty and make a living for themselves like their Asian American counterparts? Why don't Black parents and children care about education like Asian Americans? Why don't they work harder? In this way, Asian Americans are still used as pawns in this narrative of oppression, rendering us all second-class citizens. I want to end this podcast with my answer to a question I had seen addressed on social media and that I had personally received from many people during the height of the 2020 Black Lives Matter movement this summer. And my answer goes like this. The problem of racism is not that the conversation of race is only centered around Black Americans and excludes other races. The problem is that despite the historical and ongoing conversations about racism in the U.S., we have yet to see real justice and change. I know that listening to and participating in the conversation about racism against my brothers and sisters of color and races outside of my own does not take away from my racial experiences. The silent minority is a misnomer. I am but one voice of many Asian American individuals who talk about their racial experiences. I am not a silent minority. No one is silent. No one's voice is lost or non-existent. They are simply silenced and ignored.